Chapter 9. Verse 12. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 12. Who is a wise man who may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken, that he may declare it? Why does the land perish and burn up like a wilderness, so that no one can pass through? Here, this verse, there are totally three questions. And the first question is, who is the wise to understand this? Understand about what? Understand about the prophecy, the message declared by the prophet of Jeremiah. The words of God is spirit and it's life, according to Jesus Christ. So the words of God is the words of wisdom. So only those who have spiritual wisdom can understand God's business. If we don't have a spiritual wisdom, it's difficult for us to understand God's business. So in the 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and chapter 2 talk about the nature man cannot understand God's business. Nature man means we are born by our parents. We are born with bone and flesh, and this is called nature man. Since we are born in sin, and our relation with God has been cut off, so the nature man cannot understand God's business. So we bring the Bible to those who are educated, and they know every word, they know every sentence, but you ask them what this is talking about, they say, I don't know. Because besides the literal meaning, there are spiritual meaning underneath. And the nature man can only understand the literal meaning and cannot understand the spiritual meaning. But if you bring the Bible to those who are illiterate, they say, no, I don't know how to read it. So the Bible actually is a book being sealed by Holy Spirit. Wow. So how can we open the mystery of the Bible? So Jesus Christ said in the book of John chapter 16, Jesus Christ, John chapter 16, verse 12, John chapter 16, I have many things to say you, but you cannot understand. 13, but the Spirit of truth come and he will lead into the truth, the Spirit of the truth. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the truth. So Holy Spirit is the two sides of the coin. You cannot separate them. So if a church have Holy Spirit, means the church have the truth. On the other hand, if the church have the truth, the church must have Holy Spirit. If a church don't have Holy Spirit, don't expect this church is going to have a complete truth. So which church is really more believable? Which church can understand, interpret the Bible better? There will be a very simple answer. The church who had Holy Spirit. Because Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Of course, if a church has no Holy Spirit, they also can understand the Bible to a certain degree. But beyond that degree, Bible for them, it's just sealed. They can understand, especially the truth related to salvation. So we think our church have the Holy Spirit. If we look into the website, right? Who was the founder of TJC? Who was the founder of TJC? God? Holy Spirit. And this is a very unique answer. You go through all the churches, right? Never have found churches that the founder is Holy Spirit, right? Now, a lot of churches, they have their own founders. But only TJC, we don't have founders. Even though in early worker, we have so-called three early worker, right? Most of them died in a very early age. God used them as an instrument, but they are not the founder. Founder is Jesus Christ himself through the truth, through the Holy Spirit. So how can we understand the mystery of God? We need to have a spiritual wisdom. How can we have spiritual wisdom? The spiritual wisdom comes from Holy Spirit. When the church pray and everybody been filled by the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit will open our heart so we can understand God in depth. So usually, if we visit all different kind of churches, you can find out the church emphasize more in prayer. For example, Sabbath morning, all right? If a church always promote 30 minutes of prayer, for example, 11 o'clock we start service, and 10:20 to 10:50, a church start to promote the morning prayer. Usually you can see the church have few things different. The first thing is when we start to have service, almost 90% to 100% members are already there. But if a church don't have the morning prayer, and when it's time in 11 o'clock, we hold the service in the name of Jesus, it's about 40 to 50% member there. After the first hymn, more probably 60%. After the prayer, first prayer, maybe 70%. And after the last hymn singing, maybe 80%. And last prayer finish, 100%. Wow, it's time for lunch, right? Also, promote the morning prayer is very important. And first, the attendance rate will be very high. The second, if we promote the morning prayer, the atmosphere of the church will become more spiritual. Really, you can witness many church. The third, the church who promote the morning prayer, you can see the way they listen the sermon is more attentive. The spirit of attending the service is better. I've been a minister and travel a lot of different churches. Some of the churches, even in the morning, 11 a.m., right? You feel everybody so sleepy, so tired, right? And then after the service, during the time of lunch, everybody talks so loudly, very energetically. Then after the lunch, then afternoon service, everybody feels so sleepy. And then after the afternoon service, everybody talk very loudly, right? Why? Because if there is no Holy Spirit to open our heart, when you listen to the sermon, what are we talking about? They cannot understand totally. But if the Holy Spirit open our heart, and the sermon speaker moved by the Holy Spirit, and they can understand the message delivered through the sermon speaker, that movement will convey through the message. And all of a sudden, you see the people that like to listen. They want to listen the next sentence. They want to listen the next message. What is the next point? And then the sermon, the service become very, they attend the service very attentively. So here, it's talk about what wisdom does one, do we need to understand God's word? And that is the wisdom is coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to understand the truth, we have to go through the Holy Spirit. So the more we pray, Holy Spirit open our heart, open our eyes, the deeper you can understand the teaching of the Bible. The deeper we understand the teaching of the Bible, the more we'll be moved by the words of God. The more we'll be attracted by the words of God. So in the book of Psalm chapter 119 say, I want to rejoice in the decree of the law. Rejoice, right? A lot of people feel the open the Bible is so boring, right? If you cannot sleep and then open the Bible, read two chapters, you sleep very well. Because it's very boring, right? But some of the members, before they sleep, they open the Bible, they are so much touched. Oh, so when they fall asleep, their mind still have the words of God circling around in their heart. That kind of movement keep you fall asleep in your mind, and that will be very peaceful sleep, right? Holy Spirit play a very important role. Who is wise to understand this? Today's answer is the one who received Holy Spirit and the one who filled by the Holy Spirit. It's the one who can understand the way of God, the message of God. It's not necessary you need to have very smart, high IQ to understand the word of God, but it's necessary to have Holy Spirit and filled by the Holy Spirit. This is Jeremiah. Let's come back to chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 16. At 16 onwards, after they refused to return and the message has been proclaimed about the prophecy of captivity. Verse 15. Therefore means verse 14 was the reason, and verse 15 therefore is the outcome of that reason, conclusion from that reason. Says the Lord of hosts, God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, these people, with wormwood and give them water of gall to drink, a bitter water, and I will scatter them or among the Gentiles, whom neither they nor their father have known, and I will send a sword after them until they have consumed them. Therefore, because they have no wisdom to understand the warning and continue to live a life of worshiping the idol, so the conclusion is God's response immediately with the prophecy of captivity. Now we look into chapter 9, verse 17 to 26. The people mourn on the judgment, especially that's chapter 9, verse 25. Chapter 9, verse 25. Verse 25. Behold, the day are coming, says the Lord, that I will punish all who are circumcised with the uncircumcised. So two kind of people will be punished. One is circumcised, another one is uncircumcised. And verse 26 spell out the Egypt, the Judah, the Edom, and the people of Ammon and Moab, and all who are in the farthest corner, who dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. The reason they were punished, because they were uncircumcised. And how about the Israelite? They are chosen people, and the sign of the chosen people is circumcision. So when God appeared to Abraham, and promised to give him a piece of land, and promised that their descendants will multiply to become a great nation, and promised to bless them. And after God do that, God required them to have circumcision. So circumcision become a sign of God's chosen people. But now, you talk about the punishment of will come, because Israelites are uncircumcised in their heart, which means the Israelites physically they received the circumcision, but in their heart there was no circumcision, so that was the reason they received punishment. So what does that mean? Physically circumcision, we understand it is quite clear, But what does it mean uncircumcised in their heart? Let's turn to Romans chapter 2. The book of Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 25. For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Oh, so what does that mean? If we break the law, your circumcision means physically circumcised, like the Jews. Physically, they receive circumcision. But they break the law in their heart, in their life. Worshipping the idol is breaking the law. And then their heart become uncircumcised, uncircumcision. So verse 26, therefore, if an uncircumcised man keep the righteous requirement of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted a circumcision? Verse 27, and will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfill the law, judge you who, even with your written code and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law. Verse 28, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is the circumcision that which is outwardly in their flesh, but he is Jew, a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that in of their heart, in the spirit, not in the letter. So what do they talk about? Even though we are not physically, we are not Jews, we are not Abraham descendant, but if we keep the law, we keep the words of God, and the words of God inscribed into our heart through the Holy Spirit, and from our bottom of heart, we fear God and keep his commandment, and then spiritually, actually, we are circumcised in the eyes of God. And then spiritually, we become his descendant. So from this understanding, and then we can come back to Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 25 to 26. The reason Israel was punished by God, not because physically they are not circumcised. Physically, they were circumcised, but because inside their heart, they did not keep the words of God. They did not keep the law given by God. So that kind of outer circumcision, still not enough. Only the inner circumcision, keeping the law, or the inner circumcision, which what God really cares. So the true Christian, it's not only the outward sign, right? You hold the Bible, you put a necklace with a cross, and you use the words of God, a lot of words of God, thank God, right? Not because of that we are a Christian. A true Christian is the one who has the words of God inscribed in their heart, which means every part of their thinking, every part of their thinking, the words of God was there. Every part of the thinking, we use the words of God as a guidance. So we think according to the words of God, we speak according to the words of God, we live according to the words of God. And this is inner circumcision, and this is the true Christian, and that's what God cares the most. Now we look into the next one. It talks about idol and the true God, number F, idol and the true God. Chapter 10, verse 1 to verse 5, talk about idol is nothing. How come idol is nothing? Because idol is nothing but a piece of wood, right? Even the idol been carved with the image of man or special image, right? And added with some kind of paint and add some kind of decoration, all right? And people worship as a god. But inside that, a very thin layer of the paint, inside the idol is nothing but wood. Oh, so idol is nothing. It's lifeless. Oh, so idol needs people to take care. If the idol needs people to take care, how can people idol take care of the people? Oh, all right. So worshiping the idol actually is difficult to understand. The only reason we can explain is it's work of Satan. Oh, worshiping the idol is a work of Satan. That is the only one reason we can explain. Otherwise, how can people worship that piece of wood as God? It's hard to understand. You know, a few years ago in Japan, there was a great earthquake in Kobe. And Japanese people like to worship shrine, their ancestor in shrine. And after a huge earthquake, a lot of idols just fall down from the stand. Some the neck was break, some break in the middle part, some break the right arm, some break the left arm. So a period of time, the most busy business is to repair the idol. And after idol repair it, they paint it anew and put into the same location, and people start to worship as God. It's very difficult to understand. Now, only one reason is the work of Satan. The work of Satan, the Satan destroyed the inner heart, inner eyesight. So people cannot identify this is the work of Satan. They worship the idol. And then chapter 9, talk about we have to boast about knowing God. That's the only thing we can boast with thanksgiving. Thank God in my whole life, I know this only one true God, the greatest God, the creator of the universe. If we know this God, then we will not treat the three things mentioned in chapter 9, verse 23 as an idol. The first thing is wisdom. Wisdom translates into education. Education becomes idol. Of course, we can receive good education in best school. That's thank God. It's the grace of God. But if we treat education as more important than God, if we consider ourselves glorified, more than glorified the name of God because we received the best education in best school, then it's become idol. The second one is might. Might translate into success. The people who are more capable can achieve the goal, and can pass all the competition and achieve the goal in the society. So usually business car has a big title, right? This and that big title. So a lot of people consider achievement as an idol. They want to show people who they are. With the business car. This is a gold business car because a lot of title there. And in order to reach that kind of degree, so everybody can respect you or everybody can consider you as a very honorable person, and we can receive the fulfillment of vainglory, and that itself become idol. The achievement in the world. Of course, if we can achieve something, that will be good. But that should be under the precondition, just like a Daniel. God is the most important. This is the first precondition. And the third one is riches. And riches is so easy to become an idol. So unless we can take away the idol, otherwise we cannot serve the true God. Let's see 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. We'll come back to Jeremiah chapter 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Verse 9. For they themselves declare concerning us what the manner of the entry we have to you, and how you turn to God from idol to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. If we look carefully into verse 9 and 10, can you come out with a conclusion? There are three things we need to do in our spiritual life. Verse 9 and 10. Our spiritual life, based on verse 9 and 10, there are three content. The first one is what? Verse 9 and 10. What is the first thing we should do in our spiritual life? Turn to God from idol is the first thing. Huh? The second thing we have to do, serve the living and true God. The third we have to do, wait for God's second coming, in short. So our spiritual life, three essential things. Turn away idol, turn to God from idol, and serve the true and living God, and wait for Jesus' second coming. Only three things, right? And these three things are correlated. Because we are waiting for Jesus' second coming, so we have to serve God very diligently. How come? Because in Jesus' second coming is the time Jesus Christ is going to settle the account for us. So Matthew chapter 24 talk about the prophecy of Jesus' second coming. And compare the sign of Jesus' second coming in Matthew chapter 24. We are very close to the time of Jesus' second coming. And Matthew chapter 25 talk about three parables. And that three parable is talking about the three standard God is going to judge us in his second coming. So what are the three parables in Matthew chapter 25? The first parable, Matthew chapter 25. The first parable, Matthew 25. What's that? 10 verses, right? Second parable. Talent, right? The third parable, gold and sheep, right? These are the three standard God tried to judge us. The first parable, 10 version, wise, prepare the oil and shine the light. Means we need to be filled by the Holy Spirit so that we can live a life to glorify the name of God. And the third parable, gold and sheep, we need to have love, all right? Those who have love will be separated into right side or left side. Right side or left side. Hey, don't choose the wrong side, left side or right side. Right side. Those who have love in the right side, don't go into the wrong side. Don't go wrong side, you don't return. Okay, so this is the second standard, whether we have love or not. And the second parable, those who receive 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent, what does that mean? The gift. Some people are very gifted, like 5 talents. Some people are gifted, like 2 talents. Some people are less gifted, like 1 talent. And the master come back to settle the account. For those who receive 5 talents, they earn 5 talents. For those who receive 2 talents, they serve 2 talents. Right? For those who receive 1 talent, they bury on the ground, earn nothing. So this one was cast out into darkness. And those who received 5 talents, 2 talents, was welcomed into the eternal banquet. So we have to serve God, because when Jesus' second coming, he is going to settle the account with us. And these three parables exactly fulfill In the book of Romans, talk about repay the debt. In the book of Romans, there are three debts we have to repay. The first debt is the debt to preach the gospel. All right? And this is just like a 5-2 talent. The second debt we have to repay is we all sin, come short of the glory of God. So we have to repay the debt of glorifying God. And this is the first parable. And the third debt we have to repay is what? Loving each other. In Romans chapter 14. And that exactly is the third parable. So prepare Jesus' second coming. How can you do it? Try to do the three parables. So serving God is a must, because when we are waiting for Jesus' second coming, he's going to settle account with us. But in order, in order to serve God, what should we do? Turn to God from idol. So some of the members, they really want to serve God, but they cannot serve God. I really have a heart to serve God, but I cannot serve God. How come? Because there is idol. Unless they turn away from idol, otherwise they cannot serve God. It's not because they have no heart, but because in their heart, there is a God and idol coexist. Something more important than God. Become a stumbling block of serving God. So turn away from the idol, then we can serve God. And this is a true and living God. True means the value will never decrease. So in the first Peter talk about the living hope, the hope will never disappear, and that living hope will never fade away, will never decay, and it will never disappear. All the hope we have, once you get it, you lose it, you start to lose it. Only one hope, when you have it, you will have it forever, and that is eternal life and eternal glory. Turn away and serve the true God. The value will never disappear. And the second one is the living God. When we serve him, God will respond to our servitude. You know, God is the best one in the world. If one day you work in a company, if your company boss is a very good person, you work very hard for your company, right? That boss will be very appreciative to your servitude and will give you a lot of bonus and give you a lot of benefit. And God is even more better than the boss we serve in the company. So anyone who serves God, you will never be disappointed in your life. Everything we sacrifice for God, God will reimburse in certain way. So the wise person is the one who really live a life of serving God. He is a living God. He will respond with a very gracious way. He will respond with a lot of wonderful blessing. So let's come back to Jeremiah and talk about chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 10. The only one God is true and living God. All right. And that the God deserves our service, deserves our servitude. And how come? If we read verse 12 to verse 13, then we understand our boss, the one we serve, the living God, what kind of boss we are serving. What kind of law we are serving? Verse 12 to 13 of chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. Verse 12 to 13. He has made earth by his power, and he has established the world by his wisdom. So from his creation, first, we know God is omnipotent. Nothing impossible to him. everything. If he want to do it, he can do it. Yeah. So including our difficulty. If God want to do it, God can resolve our difficulty. Oh, right. He is the one who created the universe with power. The second one, God created the universe with wisdom. Oh, he is a wise person, omnipotent, right? Omniscient. He knows everything. Every problem, he has an answer. He knows how to fix the problem. Oh, right. There's no problem God has no answer. Where there is man, there is problem. Where there is God, there is answer. So he is a wise one. And how about the third one? And he stretched out his heaven at his discretion. Verse 13, when he uttered his voice, there is a multitude of water in the heaven. So what does that mean? Why? When God speaks and heaven starts to rain, utter his voice, right? Water from heaven fall down, and then it's rain. Oh. So rain is for what? Rain is the love of God. Just like California right now is in drought. Oh, right. If God don't want to make it rain, then you cannot make it rain. What can you do? All right. If God want to make it rain, you cannot stop it. If God don't want it rain, you cannot have it. Oh. So he used his voice to control everything. Oh. So when the rain falling down, it's the love of God. Then the next one, he causes a vapor to ascend from the end of the earth. What does that mean? Vapor, right? In the summertime, you look into the outside or the freeway, or you can see the vapor, right? Why? Because when the water will become steam, become vapor, the water will absorb the heat. So the weather will not be too hot. And it is love of God, right? God create vapor ascend. So the temperature is pretty good. That if there is no vapor, then daytime it will be too hot. Evening it will be too cold. Because the evening time, the vapor will condense into dew and will release the heat, and the temperature will not be too cold. And that is the love of God. And then he makes the lightning from the rain. Lightning, you know, the lightning it will create some kind of chemical ingredients. And that chemical ingredient will become fertilizer for the forest, for the tree in the wilderness. So it makes it grow like a Yellowstone, right? Who give them fertilizer? It's God who give them fertilizer. How? By lightning, right? Thunderstone, so it can grow very fast. It's the love of God. And the next one, he brings the wind out of the treasury. When the wind blow on us, first you feel it's very comfortable in the winter, right? And it brings us very fresh air, and it is the love of God. So verse 13 and 12 and 13 tell us the Lord we serve. It's the one who is almighty. It's the one who is very wise, and it's the one who loves us so much. So this Lord deserves our servitude. He's the best boss in the world. If we serve him, our life will be filled with all the goodness. So no wonder in the book of Psalms say, apart from God is nothing good. Please remember, apart from God is nothing good. Everything good only happens within God. So if we live a life without God, nothing will be turned out to be good. If we want everything turn out to be good, we must invite God into our life, into our heart. And we do it for the reason of God, and our life will be wonderful. So this is Jeremiah chapter 10. We are going to continue. We still have 5 sections, and it will be enough to go through all the chapters. Okay, let's pray inside. Amen.